It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What is up, everybody? Fight fans, combat sports community, mixed martial art fans, boxing fans, kickboxing fans, underground grappling event fans. It is your boy. It is your brother in arms, Ike freaking Feldman. Yes, on my birth certificate, it says freaking as the middle name. I'm your boy. I'm being joined by my boy, Mr. Matthew Slater. Following him on Instagram at m.slater, MMA. Yes, he's got MMA in his handle, but this dude knows a shit ton about collegiate wrestling. Yes, there's Olympic trials, not Law and Order trials, nothing to do with Amber Heard. He is funny. He's knowledgeable. He knows his shit. He knows a lot of boxing, and that's what we are going to discuss on this episode of the Iketagon. He is Matthew with one T. We're about to talk about a Terrence with one R. But my boy, Matthew, what's up, brother?
How we doing, my friends? Great to be on the show, man. Glad to get that call, get the invite. Glad to be here.
This has been a long time in the making. You know, I've been, I'm going to start to, if they have like costumes or figurines, I'm in my summer Ike. I'm a floozy when it comes to responses. We were supposed to do a preview. All of a sudden, the fight passes. I go, wait a second. There's some super funny genius that I have not discussed with, and it's Matt, and I'm sorry, my apologies, but I'm sure you would have predicted this. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, Terrence Crawford putting on a masterful performance over one Errol Spence, a long time in the making. People will say, haters will say, non-savants will say, I think this happened at the perfect time. What are your initial thoughts of the fight, my man?
So, going into the fight that evening, my big thought was, wish it would have happened 2-3 years ago. And the reason for that was I looked at Terrence Crawford as on his way out. I thought he was getting a little bit older. And I thought that Spence, and again, I don't mean he's old for the division. I don't mean he's old for fighting. I mean that Errol Spence Jr. might have been a little too much for an old man to handle. That being said, when you see his warm-up videos, you see him getting ready for that fight, you could just tell that he was gonna put it in, you know? He was going to get that work done.
So anybody who is saying that this fight should have happened 3 years ago, it's because of the Crawford side of things, right? So Spence is in the window, right? The prime, as they say. My biggest question to one of my good friends and boxing experts, Francisco Guzman, I asked him a simple question because I'm a casual boxing fan. I'm learning about Oleksandr Usyk. I'm learning about all the boxing world.
Usyk will show you something. You keep watching that.
I thought he was just a guy with the cool mustache and crazy suits, but I'm learning much more about the sweet science. My only question about Crawford, I go, does this dude make it a lifestyle, meaning training? Is he in shape all year round? And he goes, yeah. And I go, okay, so then if he's not partying, drinking, and just doing 10 weeks to get in crash dieting shape, then I go, yeah, he should walk through Spence. And that was my only analysis, but there are much more layers. Give me some of those.
So one of the big things to take into consideration is just how big Errol Spence Jr. is compared to Terrence Crawford.
Really?
Like Errol Spence, yeah, Errol Spence takes a cut to make that weight, and he's young and strong enough.
And what weight is this?
Errol Spence Jr., I believe they're welterweights. I believe that was the welterweight title. It's like super welterweight. You know there's like 12 divisions now. It's crazy. And again, I mean, you need that 2-3 pound catch weight back and forth. And it's, if you really want to know more about that, look into how many champions have been stripped of titles for missing a fight weight by a pound. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So for me, that was like a very big consideration. Errol Spence is definitely the bigger man. And again, if you want to look at their reach, I would have to guess that Errol Spence has reach on Crawford. Wow. And again, I wouldn't even know for sure. I don't have the tapes up in front of me, but, you know.
No, I've heard that. Spence is saying the bigger man. I'm like, but you saying it like hammers at home. I'm like, oh, really? He was really? I was like, geez.
Well, I don't know, just to switch gears to MMA for 1 second, I don't know if you saw the Whitaker Duplessis fight.
The white gorilla.
Yeah, did you see how fucking big that guy
looked? Dude, he could walk on his hands.
Yeah. That like, and again, that's an extreme example of what a weight cut looks like. But Robert Whitaker's huge at that weight. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He's like a big man at that weight. Duplessis made him look like a child.
100%.
You know? And so I feel like you get a little of that same element. I think the difference is really and again, this is a big delineation between MMA and boxing and what it is to have form and technique. MMA's got a much more random element, you know. You got those flying knees, you go to the ground, somebody arm bars you off a takedown. You never really know what's happening. You're just really surviving in there, which I love. In boxing, you're performing like a dance. It's very, very it's very specific motion, you know what I mean? So that size differential makes a much bigger deal, in my opinion, in boxing. Which again, you can argue because Duplessis got on top of Whitaker and just mangled him, you know?
So it's even more impressive than for what Crawford
did. Well, what's so impressive about it is that Errol Spence Jr. was ranked at fourth in the world by most PvP rankings. You know, like it's not like it was some schlump from the division. It wasn't number two in the division, the big contender. It's number four in the world, pound for pound, that he beat. And he fucked him up.
Yes.
I don't know. Guys, if you didn't see the fight, please go look at it. It's the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen.
Unbelievable defense, confidence. I'm. This is my original take. I've been watching a lot of Bruce Lee stuff later. Recently, shout outs to the HBO Max's The Warrior Show, which is like a Bruce Lee idea come to life. But that one-inch punch, you know, that lead hand, power hand, that's exactly what I saw with Terrence Crawford. And it's well documented that he's one of the few successful switch stance boxers, power from both sides. He might throw a football with his right hand because the power in that jab, beautiful technique,
oh, yeah.
Beautiful power, no wasted motion. Like, dude, break it down for me.
So one of the great things that, and you actually nailed it right there. His defense, his switch hitting, his ability to just short shot those exchanges. So that right there alone, that's out of that's the Canelo Alvarez Bivol fight. So what happens when the shorter guy is taking these shots, they want to eat him on the edge of the elbow and fire a straight shot right off the elbow, right?
Oh.
So you take it and immediately fire back. And it works almost like parrying does in boxing. When you had Errol Spence firing these hooks from slightly outside positions at Terrence Crawford, which again, this is what I'm really getting to. Terrence Crawford's depth, his ability to gauge distance in that fight was remarkable. It really was. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in combat sports. And one of the ways that it was highlighted, he was convincing Spence that he was inside, getting Spence to throw these looping hooks, catching them on the elbow and firing that Bivol straight right down the line. It's like he combined four different styles of fighting into one motion, beat Spence's ass with it.
If there's any videos, I know this is on call on demand right now, but if you want me to highlight for the audience, I could throw up. Again, this is live on the YouTube page. This will be posted later on the podcast feed. But if you want to throw any videos, I'm talking to you, Matt, to DM me straight to Instagram. I'll throw them up while we're talking.
Give me 2 seconds. I can actually find a couple good examples of Terrence's outside work during that fight.
Okay. I'll fill in the meantime. Guys, again, we're being joined by Coach Matthew Slater, wrestling, boxing, jiu-jitsu, knowledgeable when it comes to breaking down to the sport. An awesome guy as much as well. Like, I would love to highlight and for the audience to see how funny he is, just off the top of the mind, top of the dome. Matt's hysterical. Follow Matt on Instagram at m.slatermma. He's boxed, wrestled, jiu-jitsu. He's coaching. I love the way he presents talking about fighting. I can only imagine what it means to be a fighter under Matt. He's training part of the next wave, and Matt is a fellow Strong Islander, so you guys know already that I respect him. There was a question that I've heard raised by local fighter, or raised and answered by local fighter, I believe Suffolk Zone, Chris Wade, whereas why is Long Island such a hotbed for martial arts, boxing, wrestling, MMA, successful champions, Chris Algieri, Chris Weidman, the list goes on, of course, Matt Serra, the Godfather, you gotta love them all. But Chris Wade went on to say that the reason why Long Islanders are so successful when it comes to martial arts and combat sports is because in order to train and train at a high level, you also have to work hard to pay for the rent, to pay for the mortgage, to have a dating life, which Matt knows a lot about, to hang out with your friends, to be clean cut, to be groomed. The reason why I have low lighting is because I haven't gotten a haircut in a couple of weeks. There's a story behind that. But I agree with that, man. Like, unless you're the few and rare between where Chris, this is a story I heard where Chris Weidman, he lived in his father's basement with his wife and his kids while he was.
So I knew Chris while he was living at his parents' house.
Okay,
so
there you go.
It's hadn't had his kid yet. I was wrestling at Nassau Community College with Chris Weidman while he was living at his parents' house.
Oh my God, I love you even more, Matt. You're the man. It makes a lot of sense. You know, like on the coast, you got these amazing golf courses and these $1 million houses and just these people who they just a swing of a finger, they can like raise a building in Manhattan. It's a crazy place to live. And yet this is one of the biggest hotbeds for martial arts, a sport that's kind of in the gutter. It takes a certain type of grit and a certain type of basically passion. You have to love this. Otherwise you're wasting a lot of time and you're going to be a very unhappy person if you're trying to pursue a successful career in combat sports on Long Island. So the cream rises to the top, and it's just, Matt, I respect you. I believe you're part of that cream. So did you find that video yet? Did I fill in enough?
Yeah, I mean, MMA on Long Island definitely is creamy.
Like I said, late, are you on the, what do you call it? Are you on the block? Are you taken? Are you in a parking spot? Like, what's your dating status, if you don't
know? Oh, shit, man. I'm all around the place. I date very casually.
All very around casual. The place, ladies.
I mean, hey, you guys got the IG now. Hit me with the DM.
Pulling up. Here we go. All right. Do you see the video on the screen?
This is a great example. So what I want you guys to be paying attention to here, it's I want you to look at how Spence is reacting to Crawford's forward motion. He starts swinging a little wild. Crawford pulls out and then returns. We call it a pull counter.
I need you to be the best substitute level teacher. Tell me when to hit the projector play, hit pause.
So actually, yeah, if you want to go ahead now, just a couple second clip, you can go ahead and throw it. But I do want you guys just to note yeah, look at this motion on the outside. He's keeping him pushing. He's keeping him guessing, forcing that action. And you can see Crawford moves forward, baiting Spence into motion, waiting for him to make a mistake. And it's so masterful. It's very tactical, very intelligent.
But can you see my mouse on the screen?
No.
Do you see in the comment where?
There we go.
There's a guy doing a backflip. Is that Crawford?
Yes, I do see the flip, but the stream's kind of glitching a little bit.
Oh, is that Crawford though that could do a backflip? They're showing in the comments some guy doing a backflip.
Oh, I don't know if that's Crawford doing a backflip. I think he's a little old for the backflips.
I didn't realize if that's him. I didn't realize he's that type of athlete. Like, obviously he's a swordsman, like an Anderson Silva, just like a sniper when it comes. But I mean, you see Gaethje, Michael Chandler, Teofimo Lopez, these like these guys
incredible
who could have played football if they're big. If Crawford's doing backflips. Man, how is he not promoted correctly, man? This guy has it. He's exactly who you want to be like the face of your organization or promotion. Humble and just undefeated.
The first time I saw this guy, he was 22-0. I think he had 17 knockouts on his belt. And I think I might be wrong. It might have just been a great night to be watching like the fights that were just on. But he was, I believe he was on the same card as Deontay Wilder, 13-0. And I remember seeing both of them and just being like, oh, wow, this is actually the future of boxing right here. And what I didn't realize was he was already a top like 10 contender.
Wow.
I just had no idea.
That says a lot.
They really didn't do a good job hyping this guy up. The Omaha kid is a killer. He's a killer.
Craziest thing that I saw.
Should have way more hype for how good he is.
I think I became a lot more locked in with, I think December 2018 was the first Fury Wilder fight. That's when I've gotten more jumping into the boxing world. And since then, obviously, just tuning into the pound-for-pound rankings, I saw Canelo, Fury, Wilder, and then Usyk jumps in there over Wilder over the last 2 years. And I go, and I've been focusing on Crawford. I see the record, 32-0, 33, on and on and on and on. And I'm just like, how are people missing this guy? He wanted to fight Spence three. He's not running from anybody. I was like, the disrespect is crazy.
No, never. Never. He never ran from anyone. He's been willing to take just about every fight that's ever been booked for him. I think a big problem is this idea that he didn't have what people viewed as the right level of competition to really put him in that category of pound for pound great, which I think is very short-sighted by the people who were making those decisions. And in my opinion, I mean, there were a lot of great fighters at the time. Like, again, you're talking about the Canelo Alvarez era where you had Triple G in that weight class. You had like actual studs all over this. You have Usyk, Anthony Rumble Johnson. You've got Tyson Fury. Klitschko was still in the running at that point. He hadn't retired. He might not even be retired. I just don't hear a lot about Klitschko anymore. You know, so you just had all these huge names swirling around. And then you had the entire lightweight division, which was just stacked with monsters. I don't know if you happened to catch the Donaire and Inoue fight. One fight of the year. 2017, I think.
Oh, I saw the Fulton. Is this the same guy Fulton just lost to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Inoue.
I think that's the only first fight.
If you want to talk pound for pound ratings, like, if there's one person in the world that is arguably better than Terrence Crawford right now, it's Inoue, and that's just based on the amount of force he generates for his weight.
Call me dumb for paying attention to, but people are saying that. How do you say his name? Inoue?
Inoue.
That he had his hand wraps were screwed up because he's fighting in his hometown, and it gave him extra power. And I'm like,
yeah, you can say that all you fucking want. Like, the guy has been taking heads off his entire career. That's a meaningless. Like, if you're going to start talking about gloves and bad glove form, then you got to talk about Tyson Fury during the Deontay Wilder 3 fight. I don't even think there's cause for speculation or argument on it. If the refs didn't call it in the moment, there's nothing to say, you know?
I agree.
Especially as far as hand wraps, man. Like, if you look at the history of boxing, people have straight up put like BBs in their gloves, you know? So,
jeez.
I don't care what your raps are doing. Like, you're probably okay.
Gotcha. And yeah, Coach Matthew Slater on IG at m.slater MMA. If Coach Matt says it's okay, it's probably okay. I want to get your, before we move on to some chaotic fights, I want to get your final thoughts and putting a bow on Crawford and Spence.
So just, guys, if you're curious about boxing technique, look through Terrence Crawford's career. Do not try to copy him. He is an actual natural ambidextrous fighter. There aren't many of them in the entire world. There are few less with his level of talent. Do not try to be your heroes. Be you. Use what your heroes do. But please, guys, don't go trying to be somebody else. You're you. Do you. Terrence Crawford's a G. Earl Spence Jr. also, I don't mean to take anything away from that guy. he's an absolute stud. When Crawford retires, I don't think anybody's going to beat him for the rest of his career. And outside of that, man, that is a good summary of the Crawford Spence fights, in my opinion.
Can Crawford catch Floyd's record, or is 45-0 more impressive? Because he's never ducked anybody. If I'm saying like he gets the 45-0, he retires. Is that more impressive than Floyd's 50-0? Where does it stack up?
You know, that's the most complicated question you've asked so far.
I like complicated.
So we're moving into the future of boxing, right? What establishes the GOAT moving forward is going to be a completely different set of criteria, because now you do have people like Inoue and Crawford who are definitely going to have 4 or 5 more fights minimum. Will they ever have a Floyd Mayweather record? I don't know. 49-0. It's pretty impressive.
You're right. I forgot about the McGregor fight. Rogan says 49 and Conor McGregor.
Yeah. That's how that went. Fuck me. How do I express this? Floyd Mayweather is the best defensive boxer of all time. And I don't think anybody's going to really figure it out as well as he did. And as they do, other boxers are going to have the tools to break down what it is they're doing. So I don't think anybody will ever have as much success in defense.
Wow. Well said.
Yeah. So when I think of whether Crawford will actually be able to break the Mayweather record, what's a record, really? You know what I mean? It's like, I think having 40 knockouts and 45 fights is more impressive than having 49 fights and 12 knockouts. Ooh, right?
Well said. That's a good point.
But like, I also have to say, having, I think the statistic is 17% of all punches thrown at Floyd Mayweather landed during his career. That's 17%. I believe the average is like 32. So, like, I don't think anybody's ever going to hit those numbers either, which is arguably more impressive than the knockouts.
Incredible. Incredible. I knew I liked you, Matt. I didn't know I love you. Dude, the knowledge is just pouring out. Oh, my God. Can you tell us a joke now?
Yeah, can I tell you a joke? Yeah. All right. What the scarecrow get for stand? What the scarecrow get for standing in his – what? My bad.
We could stick
what did the scarecrow get an award for?
One more time.
What did the scarecrow get an award for?
Staring contest.
That's not bad. Being outstanding in his field.
Very good. Very good.
I have a new nephew, so I've been practicing my dad jokes.
Oh my God, you're gonna be a great dad too, man. If you're not already, ladies, does he have kids? Does he have kids? The biggest question the ladies are tuning in for. All right. No, all the money goes to you. He's got no weekend child support going on.
Yeah, not yet.
Oh my God, amazing. No,
nobody's called me about that so far.
Yeah, wherever you travel, there's probably a kid in PA, Rhode Island, Boston.
I'm almost positive I have a child in Kentucky that's almost 17.
That kid is going to have farmer strength. And when you see him on the wrestling scene at the Cornell team, you're going to be like, that's my boy. He's like, this is for you, Papa.
That's my boy. He's going to kick my ass.
I know we're talking all boxing, but you mentioned something about U.S. has the most world champions right now. Just give some love to the U.S. wrestling team. What do we got?
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and look this up so I get this one right. Just because it's actually insane. Current global wrestling standards or standings.
We're not talking about politics or the U.N., folks. We're talking about wrestling. Can MMA get in the – while you find what you got to find, one-word answer here. Do you believe MMA will be in the Olympics? They're freaking rock climbing and skateboarding.
I mean, I think we would crush rock climbing, but so currently for the U.S., we have Gilman. We have
– one.
Gilman at 2. Yeah, all right. All right, I see how this is built. Freestyle seniors, that's lightweight. It's flow wrestling on an iPhone. It's not great. So we actually just lost Gilman just lost to China, so we just lost. This is weird.
Yeah. If we're losing to China, it is definitely weird.
Yeah, well, no, I mean the way this thing is set up, it won't let me check the other athletes. Hold up. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get back to you on that. What I was getting at though is currently we have one of the greatest national wrestling teams in the world, arguably one of the greatest teams of all time.
Is there a big event coming up?
So what is it called? It's Freestyle X or Wrestle X. You're gonna have to forgive me. I haven't been doing a lot of off season wrestling for years now. Worlds was. I don't even know if Worlds just happened or Worlds is about to happen. I just know there's been a lot of contention, specifically in America at like those middleweight classes. You've got Kyle Dake, Jordan Burroughs, Metcalf. You've got Spencer Lee. I mean, any single one of these dudes is good enough to write an entire book. You got Schneider at heavyweight. You got Jaden Cox. There's a famous video of Jaden Cox taking John Jones down like 7 times in a minute and a half. It's like John Jones is like the best heavyweight wrestler in MMA history, and he just gets bodied by this guy Jaden Cox. And it's like, and I think Jaden Cox lost to another American, just to put that in perspective, you know.
Okay,
so it's a very, very, very contentious, wild wrestling scene right now, and honestly I'm a little upset. I don't have more of that on the top of my head right now.
Well,
what are you going
to
do?
I'll definitely give you a heads up, but I think I might have to like show how versatile you are. I got a boy who's like extremely well-versed in world wrestling, local wrestling, and then a boy who's extremely well-versed in boxing. And I could see Mr. Matt Slater, a five-tool player when it comes to combat sports. I could see you mixing up with both of these guys. Because again, MMA is my stuff, but you know, you got to respect the arts. You got to respect the disciplines that make these MMA fighters. Some guys box when they're younger. Some guys wrestle to be part of their MMA game. So I'm trying to learn more of it. I'm not going to pretend like I'm Luke Thomas and like, yes, I studied Kyle Dake's elementary wrestling tape. Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like I know it that much. But my point is, man, I would love to get you on with my other friends to discuss some of this stuff.
Well, I'll definitely brush up on everything that's happening currently, because there was a bunch of stuff that just happened within the last month or so. So everything's kind of up in the air right now.
No worries. No worries.
And it's leading into the next big tournament.
You're in the boxing mindset.
But just a little side note. When I was going to college up at Cortland, Cornell is actually like a 40-minute drive down to Ithaca, right?
Okay.
So I used to go down there. I happened to meet Kyle Dake when he was a freshman in high school.
Was he teabagging people then?
Yeah, he actually, as a freshman, he won New York State's over one of my teammates. Ooh. Who was a senior at the time. And I actually approached him because I was kind of going to be like, yeah, good for you. Fuck off. Nicest human being I ever met in my life. And years later, I bumped back into him up at Cornell, and he invited me to come wrestle at the room. So I rolled with Kyle Dake a few times at Cornell.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. Damn. That's getting cooler.
Yeah, number one in the fucking world. Like, arguably, if there was a P4P for wrestling, like, he's arguably number one on that.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about yourself. I was like, yeah, man, we're working on it. I go, maybe a little ahead of yourself. Like, we'll get there, though.
I'm number fun when it comes to wrestling. I'm not taking that shit serious at all.
Number fun in the world. That's right, man. Nope. That's right. You're number one in our heart. You're number fun in the world.
That's what I'm going for.
You're the man, Matt. You're the man. And again, guys, follow him on Instagram at m.slatermma. You know, we were talking off air about a fight that just happened this past weekend. Brought to you by Most Valuable Promotions 1, Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz. It happened, man. I can't believe it actually happened. You know, I hope those guys made a lot of money. I put it on Twitter, a poll, which of those fights, Spence Crawford, Paul Diaz, do you think made more money or more pay-per-view buys? You're dropping some knowledge on us in the pre-show green room. Dude, you're telling me that Paul Diaz made more money? I guess it makes sense because of the circus that's around. There's a freaking robot on stage.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's the circus.
There's a robot on stage.
Duel of the Robot. I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat some guy who might be one of the top three boxers of all time, top 10 boxers of all time, and Terrence Crawford just putting on a master's class against like his most formidable opponent. Nope. We saw a robot, and we saw a former UFC star versus an influencer who has poured a lot of time and energy into boxing. I am giving him credit for that.
I'm going to give him that. I will – look, I've watched a lot of that guy's training videos, and over the last year, he's improved 1,000%. He's obviously putting a lot of hard work into it. I hate him personally. I hope he breaks his hands and never boxes again, but I got to give him credit for putting the work in.
Yeah, Rogan says, you know, he's treating it like a pro athlete. You know, it's like he accumulated all those resources, money, and wealth to kind of set himself up where he can do these like long crazy training camps.
All right, so that's what I'll say. I believe that this is a circus of show rather than it's a show of life rather than an attempt at being an actual legitimate boxer. It's like,
ooh, okay.
And again, he is putting in the work, but for him getting punched in the face, it's not like it's a status thing. It's an I can do this if I want thing, you know? And like, I guess at the end of the day, that's all anything is. It's called power of will, right? You know, that's really the answer to all of life's questions. We do it because we want to, or we can, you know, or we convince ourselves we have to. But still, it's us telling ourselves we have to do it. I don't look at him as somebody that's like a real connoisseur or believer in what the sport actually is. I think he's a guy that looks at it much like WWE fans look at Kyle Dake, you know, like, oh, so he can wrestle. I bet you Mankind would beat him up. And it's like, whatever, dude. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think he understands. Cause if he did, why the fuck is he boxing Nate Diaz? You know, like you had one fight against an actual boxer. You lose the fight, so you go back to fighting washed-up MMA fighters. It's like, fuck off.
Let me talk from a Jake Paul sympathizer, and I want you to put on your Matt Tredamus hat. He's now mentioned Canelo's name a bunch of times, and I believe the only way that happens is that he bleeds out Canelo. He waits till Canelo's about 40, and he's just maybe just fat and on those kangaroo steroids again or whatever. And maybe he catches him. Maybe he catches Canelo in 5 years when he's already had many wars accumulated under his belt. And maybe Jake Paul does that. Maybe Conor McGregor is 2 years before that. There is a plan to it. I do respect it. But do you believe that there is some genius in there that is trying to leapfrog Al Haymon, Eddie Hearn, Mayweather Promotions, Golden Boy Promotions by showing the world that – he is obviously. Oscar did it, but Oscar does not have a clean out of the ring record. But Jake Paul is showing that, yeah, he's a boxer too, that he can be Eddie Hearn if he was ever to step in there himself.
All right. So maybe I opened the door into like the morality of what it is to be a fighter. We were just talking about how Floyd Mayweather is one of the greatest, right? Like Floyd Mayweather is a notoriously bad person. You know, he's just like not a good dude. And that's okay. Like I watch him because he's an incredible fighter, you know? So when you talk about Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions, like, yeah, Oscar De La Hoya is an asshole, but like, he's an asshole that came out of a gutter, did it himself, and then said, screw you to all these other promotions and made his own thing. And I have nothing but respect for that. That's it, you know? So in that light, based on that metric, I think that what Jake Paul's doing and leapfrogging these promotions, not only being able to put on these huge shows, but by getting more pay-per-view views, 150,000 more pay-per-view views than Terrence Crawford, Spence, Nate Diaz, and Paul. Think about that shit. 150,000, 850,000 total. That is a disgusting percentage to beat out the two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the whole fucking world right now.
And what does that mean to you? For me, my 13-year-old nephew is talking about
him. It means I want him to have good fights. And that's the other thing. Like, I hate Jake Paul, but if the kids are all watching him do something that I care about, maybe some of them will take the sport seriously and look at it as, like, a path to what it's really about, you know?
That's fair. And at the bare minimum, he's showing kids that, like you said, if you have the will or if you can do something, that he's shown kids that he wants to compete on a stage. And it's not just like being a rock star. He's like physically competing on stage. Like he's getting in shape. If he was not in shape, he would have lost to Diaz. He would have collapsed in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. So
he's building up the wind. Yes, I give him credit. I'm not trying to take anything away from him as far as the work that he's put into it. I guess it's just the purview on what it is that I disagree with. You know what I mean? I think for him, it's... Look, this is the guy that dropped CryptoZoo, you know? This is like... It ain't about us. It ain't about the viewers. It ain't about the sport. It's about him and whatever the fuck his goal is, you know? And again, I get as a man, I can respect that. But as like a fight aficionado and somebody that loves this sport, all I can hope is that he uses his new promotion to bring real fighters into the limelight. I don't want to see Blueface fighting KSI. I want to see real fighters fighting each other at the biggest stage possible. And if he's providing that stage, then he's providing a service to the sport. And I don't care how much money he makes.
I just hope he can stay on the straight and narrow as a promoter. Does he really love this sport? Does he see it as a payday? It's like fun to compete in. It's I'm here one day, I'm gone the next. Or does he really love and promote? You know, he says it. He's a good businessman about the women's boxing. But like, is there going to be somebody outside of Amanda Serrano? Is there future women that he's promoting? Or like I said, is it just here today and gone tomorrow? I think that's a question that is not answered.
No, it's actually a very difficult question to answer. All right. Did you watch the Anderson Silva fight?
Actually have it on my tab. That's the one fight of Jake Paul I have not watched. That's my favorite UFC fighter. As I mentioned earlier, comparing him to Spence, the sniper like, but I don't want to be disappointed. I don't know.
I don't want to cast aspersion or, you know, say that I'm automatically right. What I saw in that fight was one of the greatest fighters of all time laying it down for a big paycheck.
I saw the clip, the ending clip where it was like the hook missed the nose or something.
Yep. It touched him. And like, look, like Paul hits hard. He's a big dude. He's got some force. But like, you're talking about Anderson fucking Silva. If he wanted to stand up, he would have stood up. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same thing Nate Diaz did. You know, like you got this big fat paycheck and you never have to worry again. So like, who gives a shit about laying it down? And like, to me, that's where I start really like losing like my love for Paul. Like I honestly, it's more about like the integrity of the sport to me.
Oh, that's the one thing that would kill me. If like a cowboy laid down versus a Connor, if an Aldo laid down versus a Connor, because look at what that does. Connor got the $4 billion sale. Connor got the sport on ESPN. I think it's $1.5 billion, the ESPN broadcast deal. He got Dana a bigger platform that he could promote. But so much follows with the Connor McGregor beating Aldo. And it's like, if I find out that there was like, it'd be nuts.
I mean, it would change the history of fight sports.
Probably one of the reasons why I stopped smoking. But, if you could put another bow, we got a lot of presents for fight fans. And again, Matthew Slater on Instagram at m.slatermma. I do appreciate your time. If you could put a bow on Paul and Diaz.
Okay. So again, guys, I didn't watch the actual fight. Like I've said, and again, there's no disrespect to Nate Diaz. He's an incredible BJJ practitioner. When it comes to MMA and being in the ring, I think his awareness and the way he adds that into his striking makes him seem like a very solid boxer. He's a shitty boxer, guys. It is what it is. Logan Paul definitely has improved infinitely since the first time I saw him strap on gloves.
Wrong Paul.
Yeah, whatever his name is. I don't give a shit. Like, fuck that guy. I got to give the guy credit for putting in the work. You asked a question earlier. This is how I'll put a bow on it. Why do fighters come from Long Island? Well, we're in the shadow of Manhattan, the biggest goddamn city in the world with more money than just about anybody you can imagine.
Capital of the world, in my opinion.
Long Island was blue-collar fishing neighborhoods. And our dads grew up drinking on their boats, watching these guys work four-hour nights and have enough money to buy mansions next door to them. And they came home drunk and beat the shit out of mommy and their kid. And like, to Sean Strickland it, you catch an ass-whooping, you're a lot more likely to deal one out, you know? I feel like there was a lot of tough upbringings out here based on a lot of jealousy and envy. And that is and it's like you see your father feeling that way. It kind of lights that fire in your gut and you are looking to burn things up a little bit more.
Well said.
So this right here is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You got Diaz from Compton struggling his whole life, beat the shit out of people until he made it through the UFC. You know what I mean? Retires on this huge payday. From some kid who I don't think takes the sport seriously, who's just doing the work because it is fun. I enjoy it, you know? It's a fun sport, but I don't think he needs it the same way as real fighters do, you know? It's not the same thing as coming out of, like, fucking the Manilas in Philippines. He ain't Manny Pacquiao, you know? You could put five belts on that, on Jake Paul. He'd never be Manny Pacquiao, you know?
No.
There's this fire that he lacks, in my opinion.
Wow.
So to put a bow on it, guys, if you like it, watch it. But my advice, watch real fighters. Don't watch these fucking WWE clowns that are just pretending they're boxers.
I would say the way you put that. He lacks a fire in him. And I would say that Conor McGregor touched the fire and then just completely went down the other hill. Like once he
Conor McGregor,
once he shook Floyd's hand, it was almost like energy was swapped. Since that Floyd fight, it's been mm-hmm. Dude, the Eddie Alvarez, he had the world in his head.
For Conor McGregor to do as well as he did in that Floyd Mayweather fight, like, you got to keep in mind there was no way he was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. No way. But he did so much better than I thought he was going to do. I was impressed with Conor McGregor striking after that. But to speak on what Conor McGregor did and what happened, why he got these billion-dollar endorsements, he touched that fire in every fucking single one of us. Every time Conor came out shooting his mouth off, it's the things we wanted to say to the people we didn't like. He was relatable in that ire for everything around him.
But
and then he got popular. And we can't relate anymore.
He was listening to what he was saying, too. Now he's just saying things like a businessman to close the deal.
Yeah. And we can see it, and it's no longer relatable. So
dude,
there's not as much
Justin
love
Gaethje's the A-side. Justin Gaethje's like, no, I don't want to fight anybody on steroids. I was like, my man. I go, that's
– yeah.
But, you know, I feel like you're one of the few who will recognize what Conor McGregor did to the sport and the attention that he's brought. But it's also like, man, it's so seesawed from 2015 to 2023. Like, he was doing the Ultimate Fighter. And maybe there's irony in that it was against Uriah Faber. And now it's Michael Chandler. And he doesn't fight
it. Also, Uriah Faber's early career was one of the coolest things I ever saw. You should go look at Uriah Faber in WEC. He was incredible back then.
He might have been Monster's like first athlete. Like I think I remember the WC commercials. Faber was all over everything. Yeah. The California kid, white dude with braids. Like now I'm excited for my kid to like grow his hair long. I'm like, yeah, it's because of Faber, man.
And that guy's a really nice guy. He's a really cool guy.
Connor, like John Jones, I feel once they're 10 years out of the game, out of the competition game, then they're going to be reflecting. It'll be a happy medium of like that. They can relax. Like, there's no, like, the ego is at ease. Like, John Jones, he preaches heavenly gospel, and then he goes out and does these, like, heinous crimes. And it's like, then he's back to his balance. Oh, John's competing, so he's happy. Like, I feel like it's nutso. And Conor McGregor, all these allegations, all these horrible stories, man. I think they'll go away when he's 50, when he'll finally be like, man, I was an idiot.
Aside from Daniel Cormier, almost every fighter I've ever heard speak or present themselves is borderline insane. Everybody's crazy. To do what these people do at this level, you have to be kind of crazy. And just a fun little side note, I was dating a Belarusian girl about a year and a half ago, right after Belarusian, so right outside of Russia.
Okay. That's hot. That's hot.
Yeah, it was very hot. But Belarusian girl, right? She's telling me, I bring up Khabib, and she's like, "Oh, that guy's completely insane." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And you remember he retired after his father passed, that I made a promise I'd never fight. You know, my father's gone. What I heard from her, and I looked into it, it turns out it was pretty true. And again, the world's a propaganda machine. You don't know what's actually real anymore. But she showed me news articles and clippings. Khabib was walking around Dagestan with a crew of MMA fighters beating the fuck out of journalists who were talking shit about him. So the Russian consulate said, "You can't leave the country anymore."
Oh, no. Yep. You are disparaging on the Octagon live.
This is what I read in Russian newspapers with this Belarusian girl. So, like, I can't say if it's true or not. I don't fucking know. I'm not a Russian diplomat. I don't have access to the real truth. But that's what I've heard.
Do you hear that? I think somebody's knocking at your door.
It's raining over here. Oh.
there's no... If you see anybody with the beards and no mustache, just say, "Nobody's home, wrong house."
Yeah. No, I got you. Now it's raining over here. Now Khabib's at my door.
You might have to shave that mustache and be like, "Oh, Khabib.
Khabib." Yeah, no, for real. That's called a phenotype. I do have that Dagestani look to me.
You can pull it off, man.
I really could.
I hate the medic, Khabib. They're like, "Okay, he's next house."
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I hate the medic.
Moving forward, we got a big fight, another crossover fight, but I feel like you are going to feel a little differently about this MMA star fighting a boxing star than you felt about Jake Paul versus Diaz. Let me know your initial thoughts. I can't believe this freaking happened. I thought Ngannou was going to make his highlight tape, maybe get two low-level boxers in with knockouts, maybe get two low-level PFL heavyweights, make the highlight tape. Apparently, his knee is recovered. He's excited. He's facing Tyson freaking Fury on October 28th in Abu Dhabi. Shout out to Abu Dhabi. We love Dagestan. We love Habib. We love Abu Dhabi. What are your thoughts? Tyson Fury, Francis, and Gunn.
In this case, I don't mind the cross up so much because both of these men are fighters. They are real fighters. They're there to win. They're there for it. Look, people think this shit is all about the money. It is about the glory. Like, nobody cares about the money. I mean, the money is really, really nice. And when you're retiring, the money's more important. But, like, when you're at the top of your game, it's about that. It's about that. You just want to know that you're the best. And, I think that Ngannou is going to have a much harder time than he thinks.
Okay,
Which means Tyson Fury is an incredible boxer.
Right.
He's honestly incredible.
We know this.
I think Tyson Fury is going to piece his ass up.
Oh, there's no magic. You don't see any magic like Tyson Fury overestimating?
Ngannou has, it's probably not even arguable. He's stronger than Deontay Wilder. If Deontay Wilder can drop Tyson Fury, Ngannou can drop Tyson Fury.
Is this a fair assessment? And I'm sorry for jumping in there, but is this like my Joe Monday boxing analysis that Francis Ngannou should absolutely not touch a single dumbbell or weight or any like press machine, that he should just kind of like get those boxing muscles going?
He's like the strongest man ever. He's an animal. He's so strong. He doesn't need any more power. So I mentioned earlier, I do have a fighter. He's fighting on the 27th. He's 280 pounds. He's a big boy. He's not solid muscle like Ngannou is. He's a big NCAA football player.
Oh, wow.
He's got some fat on him. He got some weight to lose. He has so much power, I can barely hold the bag for him, much
hold
less
the bag.
You know, like, so... Like, when you talk about Ngannou and his power, like, you don't need that much force to drop somebody. You just need to connect. Okay. I don't think he's like, I don't think he's going to be able to connect. I think Fury's head movement is too solid. I think, first off, Fury is built like Shrek. Like, the guy is just a giant human being. He is. Like, the guy looks like Shrek. I think if you hand that guy a cudgel and put him out on, like, the highlands of Scotland, I don't know. Like, that guy's William Wallace. Like, he's a giant monster person. He belongs in a swamp with a donkey. Like, I don't know what's happening right now. But, like, he's just an abnormally shaped, built human being with all these incredible attributes that are perfect for boxing. He works his ass off at it. And he's one of the most talented fighters that you're ever going to see. I mean, the guy really is. He's really good. And I don't see Ngannou's power being able to answer that question. Because Deontay Wilder's a way better boxer than Ngannou will ever be.
So Deontay destroys Ngannou?
Huh? I think Deontay fucked Ngannou up, personally.
Ooh, see, that's what I think we needed to do the climb. I don't know why the climb didn't happen.
Because this is the money. Get the money. Right now. Get it. And the thing is, it's like, there's no one in that weight aside from Deontay Wilder that really challenges Fury. So this isn't about Ngannou's career. This is a Fury decision. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
This
A-side. Isn't,
like, if this was about Ngannou, yeah, he would have to build up to it. But this is a Fury thing. He's the one who took the contract. Cool. You know?
Do you think he...
So think about it that way, Arnie. It's a payday. It's a payday, and it's proof I'm the baddest big man on the planet.
Does he return to the literal heavyweight champion boxing path against Usyk? Is this just a pit stop, a money pit stop, a big money pit stop? Or is this one step away from retirement? That's what I think the mental side to Fury is so important here.
Yeah, it's very, you know what? That's a really hard one to call. Usually I'm pretty confident in judging where people are at in their careers. I think that Tyson Fury does want to fight Usyk. I think that he's going to beat Usyk, but just because he's just way bigger, you know, just a much bigger man. Thing you got to keep in mind though, is Usyk is arguably, like, I don't know how to pronounce his name too. Like, we're just making sounds with using them, but that's okay.
He's not Russian. He's Ukrainian. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. He's Ukrainian. Like, he really is one of the most technical fighters right now. I just don't think that his size is going to scale up to Fury. So when that fight happens, I do think Fury will beat him and probably retire after that. So I'd say he's going to beat Ngannou, take the payday, fight Usyk, and then retire after he beats Usyk, I would assume.
That would be the plan. I mean, I am team MMA. Always, man. I did expect Conor to make it to a decision. Everybody was so surprised by the 10 rounds. I was like trying to will him to 12. I was like, come on. Everybody's like, no, he made it 10. I go, no, that son of a bitch should have made it 12. I'm trying to will Ngannou to land that. Joe Rogan, who did he have? Maybe it was Post Malone, heard of him. Maybe it was Sean Strickland, ever heard of him. He was talking with one of his huge guests about what would be the Francis Ngannou game plan. He's like, if we see Francis Ngannou charge like the Jairzinho-Rosenstruck fight a couple of years back, maybe that's the game plan. Should he go berserk?
Windmills. Yeah, that's the only way.
Windmills.
He's not going to outbox him, but he might outlight him.
Now, could he do that? Like, do you think he could have enough energy for 3 rounds? Because if he obviously goes that crazy, he's losing his energy.
I think that if he overcommits, because, like, all right, you saw the John Jones Cyril Gane fight, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Gane is like a good kickboxer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you know that. He's
very
like
clean,
a world class
Taekwondo style, in and out, very smooth.
He's an incredible athlete. And like, I met him at the UFC gym. I got to train with him as well. That was pretty cool.
Damn.
But you know, like, you saw this guy throw his weight and was off by like just a fraction of like a pound. He was just off by, and that was enough for John Jones to duck him, take his back, and end the fight. Right. So like, Ciryl Gane is a way more functional striker than Ngannou is. He's like a much more technically sound striker than Ngannou is.
Kicks, yes.
So what
kicks.
Really,
I'll give him the kicks.
Yeah, what you're going to see is like a powder keg versus a technician in this fight. So like if Ngannou does come out swinging crazy hard and leaning forward, I do believe Tyson Fury is going to be able to pivot out, throw an uppercut, and end the fight in like the second round. If Ngannou really charges him, he's going to go down hard.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think and I think he's going to get hit twice and recognize it before he keeps charging. I think you're right, though. I think he's going to run in there like that.
So what would be next?
A bad idea immediately.
What would be next for Francis? Then does he reset boxing, kind of build up with the – maybe he could face Chisora or Andy Garcia, like a level down, a tier down from Fury, which he should have done. Or
I think Andy Garcia – I think Garcia would fucking ruin him too,
or
honestly.
Does he do the PFL route, 2KO, 3KO wins, John Jones, Stipe happens, and then we get the crossover because they're both on ESPN. So, come on, it's bound to happen. Yeah. PFL, their guy, Francis Ngannou. UFC, their guy, John Jones, in Vegas, MSG, wherever.
Sounds almost like it sounds like you almost know the marketing team's plan from last year.
Is that the 2024 plan? What do you believe really cares about boxing? Or he's taking a payday and he's going to jump back into MMA. What are your thoughts?
No. And this is what Logan Paul did for combat sports that I kind of do own one. Yeah. Logan Paul's the suicide forest guy, right?
I don't even know that. Dude, we're learning. It's like we sound so old if we're talking about these Paul brothers. Dude, I swear to God, my nephew said, you're such a hater. I go, no, I'm explaining to you. I was like, geez, they have like little Paul kids now.
Oh, God. It's like, well,
Dude, we
I
got
know,
Andrew
That's
Tate.
That's a whole different conversation.
We got Andrew
I'm not
Tate
trying to get into
and Jake Paul
the sociology of Jake Paul. Fuck that.
We got Andrew Tate and Jake Paul influence in the next generation of men.
No, dude, don't forget about my boy Jordan Peterson.
You're going to make me die on the mic.
For me, I don't disagree with a lot of the things they say about self-empowerment and being able to be your own, like, guiding force in life. It's the Superman. It's the idea of like man over the sea, you know, like human beings have been doing incredible things since the conception of human beings, you know, and it's force of will that brings you to that point. Which is a lot of what these guys talk about, but then they get into all their like misogynistic anti-feminist shit. And it's like, you guys just sound insecure as fuck to me. That's just how I feel about that. Whatever. If people are getting good things out of it, all the love in the world, man. I don't care.
Put a bow on Fury and Ngannou. I want a prediction and a round.
I think Fury puts him down by the fourth. That's what I think.
Oh, I put solo view on you to break it down.
Oh. Well, in a very roundabout way, without saying too much, I really do think that Fury is going to catch Ngannou stepping in a little bit too hot. Ngannou is going to try to slow it down and get picked apart for the next two rounds. He's going to get desperate. He's going to overcommit. He's going to get put down in the fourth. I think the postscript on that is just what you guessed. It's going to turn into a PFL UFC thing between John Jones and Ngannou, and that is only if John Jones does not choose to retire immediately after the Stipe fight, which a lot of people are predicting does happen. I think he's going to stick around for the Ngannou thing, personally.
Yeah.
Or he might retire and then fight him afterwards, anyway.
Would that fight, now, that would be, I think 2024 might be the end of the ESPN contract, or maybe it's a year after that, but... Conor Khabib did 2.4 million pay-per-view buys. Could Francis Ngannou, John Jones, now a long time on the ESPN platform, maybe they actually do like SportsCenter interviews to build up a fight to really make it gigantic. Do you think if it gets the proper promoting, because Dana White's going to, oh my God, you're going to see Dana White back to his Mayweather-McGregor promotional energy. With that, I mean, he's forgetting Henry Cejudo when he's on the Mike Tyson podcast. He's forgetting names of fight. Like, I think the John Jones fight.
Yeah.
Like, he would do such a great job at extinguishing, because you get that casual media when it comes to those super fights. Like, he would shut down anybody who's trying to, like, disparage John Jones, and worthy of being disparaged. But if you had, like, NBC Nightly News, Dana, John Jones, do you think he's going to just go off the rails? No, Dana White would be such a shill for John Jones that he would put out all those fires. Like, you're going to get the super focused Dana White. Like, when he, dude, he's so, you're going to get the power slap Dana White. Like, Dana, that White type of focus. In your opinion.
When Dana White goes to it, that man is a crackhead with his method. He does not stop. He's on that 22-hour day shit. Like, he's out of his mind.
I
love that energy.
During the Mayweather-McGregor, when he would introduce his guy every time, the Raylan, the fan, like, he was losing his shit. He was getting all redhead. Like that Dana.
Yeah, dude, he does look like he's going to blow. The motherfucker's going to have an aneurysm.
If he hasn't had one,
that's what we're describing right now.
Do you think
it pop a blood vessel in
surpasses forehead, because maybe Ngannou could be a bigger sell than Khabib? Maybe, you know, I put them like neck and neck in terms of salespeople if that fight was to happen. But do you think it could pass 2.4 million pay per view buys? Ngannou Jones.
The sport has grown. The viewership has grown. There are more people watching regularly. There's a very good chance that it does break that record. I think that it's only natural. I think that the fight industry, the whole sport, is just going to keep attracting more and more attention. We're going to have bigger and bigger buys.
Does Francis Ngannou, by that time, 15 months from now, 18 months from now, does he have enough wrestling takedown defense to contend with John Jones?
No. No, John Jones scares him. Yeah, sorry. So, like, you want to talk about, like, real, like, natural talent in an athlete. John Jones is. So, here's another one, man. When I was up at Cortland, there was a gym down in Endicott, New York.
Oh, you guys didn't do coke together, right?
I mean, I'm going to leave that off the podcast. So we're down there. I went down. I was just thirsty for an MMA gym. There wasn't really one any closer. Do like 3-4 hours of rolls with all the jiu-jitsu guys in the room.
Nice.
The whole time I hear a heavy bag rocking. Like, and I know the sound of a heavy bag. It's just rocking. I'm like, damn, somebody's kicking the shit out of that thing. It's like 4 hours later. I'm like, I got to go take a look.
Stop.
I walk in and it's this skinny, tall ass black dude throwing like 6-5+ head kicks on repeat to a rhythm and had been doing it for 4.5 hours. That was John Jones. Before he was John Bones Jones. It was John Jones. 19 years old. I was 17.
Matt, this is where you got it wrong. And again, I love you. This is where you got it wrong.
What I'm getting at is like the raw athleticism of that fucking guy. Like, I've never seen somebody do such an athletic thing. And I've been surrounded by world-class athletes like my whole life. I've never seen somebody like John Jones. I don't think anybody's beating John Jones ever.
You've talked me off the ledge for Francis
Ngannou. Except that one guy that he illegally elbowed.
You've talked me off the edge.
Say that again.
Yeah, New York native as well, Matt Hamill. You've talked me off the ledge about Francis Ngannou possibly being Tyson Fury. Fury is in his prime. He's a tactician. He's got all the attributes, as you said. Okay, you talked me off the ledge. But for the mankind, for every child to see and hear and learn about Francis Ngannou's journey to that point, to reclaim his UFC heavyweight crown in 2025 or whenever it happens at MSG versus John Jones and the whole promotion of the UFC. He needs to win, man. He needs to win. John Jones needs to be fucking humbled. I'm sorry.
I know what you mean. I just don't see it happen. Like, you would need a sledgehammer to that guy's kneecaps to humble him.
And the only person carrying the sledgehammer is the Dana White mob.
Yeah, for real, though. It's like, goddamn.
Oh, my God. We said, I said 30 minutes. Dude, we've been flown for 65 minutes now. I really appreciate the time. Matthew Slater with 1T. Instagram at m.slaterMMA. My brother, what do you got coming up for you? I heard you mentioned your boy's about to step in there, this NFL linebacker turned boxer who's about to fight. What else you got going on, my brother?
He'll be fighting, I believe the date is the 27th of September. I believe the venue is out in Comac.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be through Flex Promotions.
That's breaking news. We didn't know when the September event was. Ooh.
Yep. Right. I believe that's the date. It is tentative.
Comac, so do we got a venue? Can you drop a venue? Oh my God.
I don't know if I should be spoiling things for my promoter.
Oh,
you know?
My God. I'm going to. No, I mean, Dana White loves breaking news. You ever hear him when he's with like reporters? He's like, all right, I'll give you this. And he gives them like a matchup that's like.
Yeah. You give him a little taste. You know what? I'm going to leave those breadcrumbs for Maki to hook you guys up with. He can give you a little more detail.
I almost got him, folks. I almost got him. Well, I will do everything within my power to be there September 27th. I believe that's a Friday. That's a couple of towns over. Dude, can we get you in studio? Can we get you in studio then? I just finished my home studio. Can we get you in there before that?
100%, man. I would be more than happy to come on in whenever. Love to meet a couple of your guys. Talk some wrestling. Talk some boxing.
All right.
Talk some UFC.
That's the one guy's in the Bronx. One guy is like north of Saratoga, like way upstate. I guess those wrestlers love being in the woods. But maybe one day, dude, we might have to do like a watch companion. Maybe we do it with like Fury and Ghana.
Yeah.
I might have to legally buy it and put it on and we all watch it, get some pizza and have a bunch of mics and just bullshit. I think that's a thing that could really happen, but Matthew, I love you, brother. I really appreciate the time, man. I know you're doing a lot and you're contributing a lot to the local fight scene. And obviously, you're just extremely knowledgeable internationally when it comes to combat sports. I met you at UFC Gyms, New York versus New Jersey, grappling event back in March. I hope Brandon Adamus gives me the call September or whenever they're going to run it back. I'd love to do another stream with you there. But
you know, it's actually coming up and, I'll talk to him about getting in there myself, man.
Woo!
I'll come in. I'll co-cast that with you.
Okay. Okay. I have to, that was my first live stream. Now I have to explain to Brandon. I've learned to do the wide camera shot now. Now we
there
can see
go.
The whole freaking cage. I believe me, I got to text him all this.
Yeah. All right, brother. So last thing guys, over at the Howard Davis Jr. Boxing Center in Glen Cove these days. It is a community center. You guys can all come in for free if you're curious about it. Got a couple great trainers in there. Got Justin Lee. Got Saz. Frank's the head of the – and then there's Frank. He's the head of Ring 8. So Frank is the president of that club and the organization that kind of dictates boxing out here. So if you guys are curious about the industry, about the sports, just come in. Again, that's Howard Davis Jr. Boxing Gym in Glen Cove. Talk with Frank, Coach Matt Slater. Zaz is there. He's a little punchy. So if somebody talks to you and doesn't make sense, just assume that's Zaz.
What a nickname.
He's a good guy.
I believe that's like a guy who's like in the Arkham Asylum in one of the Batman video games. Like, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's crazy.
Amazing. Dude, we could get into this some conspiracy talk like... my wife is foreign, so shout outs to anybody who dates and marries that's you and me when it comes to foreign girls, man. But
yeah, I'm all about foreign girls.
What was that? I'm explaining that there's a whole like underground like stories about like these psych centers, and it's like maybe we could talk about that. Maybe we could have Zaz on it could be some interesting conversation. We'll I got four mics, so we got to find two other guys that would be a good time to chat for 3 hours. Because I don't think everybody understands how these companions, how long they are. But
They run.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Like, I'm pretty long-winded. So if you don't mind listening to people rant, we can definitely get Zaz out here.
Exactly. We're building the
team. He's going to talk. 2.5 hours straight, so we might as well need to get some headphones and leave the mics open, you know?
Exactly. I appreciate the time, Matt. I'm going to kick you out, okay? Is that all right? I'm kicking out digitally out of the meta space.
Yeah, let's link up soon, man. It was great talking to everybody. Take it nice and easy. I hope you learned something, guys.
I'll catch you soon, brother, and I'll text you, though.
All right, man. Yeah, you got my number.
Peace.
Peace out.
There he was, folks. Matthew Slater, ladies on Instagram at m.slatermma. Yeah, forget all the boxing knowledge. Forget all the, what do you call it, the cool conversation, the fun chats. No, lady, he's out there. Snatch him up, because one of those Belarusians or Dagestani girls, they will take him home. That's right. We need more strong men in this world, preaching the good message of hard work, consistency, focus, good conversation, good times. Matthew Slater is one of those gentlemen. I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. At Octagon Everything, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I said Facebook already. TikTok. Of course, Octagon.com. Give me a call. Leave a voicemail. 646-820-9848. I love you guys. We covered a lot. And as the combat sports world goes, there is no off season. I'll see you next week. Peace.